with you today on a message that God put in my heart at the beginning of this week, and I've been carrying it all week long. A message that has just brought me great enthusiasm to speak. A message that may trouble your heart a little bit, or it may encourage your heart. But it's a message from the Holy Spirit that will help you, I believe, and help you to see what's going on in the church world in the United States of America right now, in the Church of God especially, and other churches and movements outside the Church of God. But because we're Church of God, I believe it's important that we hear what's really happening in the church world. And it's not really a good report, but the Holy Spirit has an answer for us today through this specific message. So I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews 10 and 25, a very famous, most of you can quote it. We're going to speak on a subject called, Where Are You Parking? Where are you parking? I've had that question asked to me. If we're going to an event somewhere, where are you going to park? Going on a trip somewhere, where are you going to park? Going to a restaurant, where are you going to park? Where there's a lot of people going to attend, where are you going to park? Or going to the camp meeting or a refreshing conference, I always like to park in a certain area. And my wife asked me, why don't we just park a little closer because it was so hot there? But of course I said, no, I got to park over here because I just like parking over there. The cars don't get messed with or anything if there was any going to be anything like that happening. And then I subtitled this, or I should say the Holy Spirit subtitled this, Commitment to the House. Commitment to the House of God. Commitment to the House. And read along with me, if you will, Hebrews 10 and 25. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but let us exhort one another, especially as you see the day approaching. Wow. As some do. There are people not in church today all across this nation that used to attend on a regular basis. There are people that have decided that they don't need church anymore because it's a post-church generation, a post-church time. I have read articles that said, literally, there will be no church in a few years at all. People will just be meeting in homes if they meet at all. So this declaration, this negative declaration has been spoken over the church across America. Now, outside our country, this is not true. Folks are in church. They're excited about church. It's easy to have them return to church after they visited one time. But we are allowing this scripture to become something of the historical value of what our family should be like. Are you with me? Let us not forsake. We are so happy when we read in Hebrews 13 where it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, a promise that God has given to our lives. But let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I love going to church, by the way, not just because I'm a pastor or a speaker. I love going to church. Now, I'm asking you a rhetorical question. Please don't raise your hand. How many of you love to go to church and to be in the house of God? I find real refreshing and real comfort in the church, in the house of God. I look forward to seeing people. I look forward to praying with people. I look forward to hearing the word. I look forward to hearing people pray. I look forward to giving the word if I'm the one sharing that day or preaching that day. But to me, it's really important that we do not forsake the assembly, the coming together as a family. And it's like this all over America. There is a great exit that's been happening. There are articles being written. 5 reasons why people have left the church. 10 reasons why people have left the church. 40 reasons on how to get them back. I mean, you can go absolutely confused in your mind because of all these different articles by famous writers, which names I won't quote because I don't have permission to say their names, but literally have written articles because there's such great concern. I'm going to preach in a minute, but I want you to understand this introduction today. There are people that are sitting at home this morning that should be in church. And there's no good reason not to give God the time in the assembly together. There is a strength that we gather from one another. Amen? There is a time that we gather with one another. There is a comfort that we should be gathering from one another. There is a time to get to know one another better. It's a time where we can exhort one another. Exhorting means to remind each other. Exhorting is not a negative term. It's not a term that you do like you're admonishing people. Exhorting is when you remind people of the love of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, and how unity, now listen to me, how unity defeats the devil. You know, when you get separated and away from the body of Christ, segregated from the body of Christ, the enemy begins to attack. And when you can be around your family and you can be exhorted by each other, it's really important. You know, church is a place, now listen to me, church is a place, what I know as church, and maybe some of you don't know this, but I'm going to tell you right now by exhorting you, and I know you do know it, but maybe you need to be reminded of it, that those who do know what I'm about to say. Is it the church is where you come to get a word spoken into your life, or for your gifts to be used, for your gifts to excel, to grow, to be manifested publicly and openly. It's very important. I believe, and I'll go on in this in just a moment when I begin to preach, is that there is an opportunity outside these doors for your gifts to grow and for your gifts to excel, and for God to use you dynamically. The church meeting is far more than a place for one to be entertained or to hear, for these can be accomplished through radio or television. You don't need to go to the house of God to hear the word or to be entertained. The purpose for the assembly is for participation in worship and fellowship. and with one another, attendance is necessary. Don't you love to worship God together? Don't you love just to participate in fellowship? You know, sometimes when I come into the church, I see people talking, laughing, enjoying the presence of other people. You come into the church and you come into the auditorium before service, and where I've spoken to many times in my ministry for the last 42 years is where you would go in and people would be talking and just laughing in the sanctuary. And I tell you, it's really true. There's a lot of times where you just have to call the church to order. Hey, it's time to worship together. It's a beauty of what God has for us. And it's obviously something that we need to be together all the time. If a man's faith will not get him to church, it is doubtful it'll get him to heaven. Listen to that line. You know, being away from the house of God, you leave yourself open to attack of the enemy. You know, the old days, what we used to say to one another, and some of you may remember this, and again, it's something that's really unique. People say, I go to church, I'm home watching it on television. And I used to say to those people, well, if you get sick, go ahead and call that evangelist or that pastor that you're watching and see whether or not he comes over and lay hands on you. I say he doesn't even or she doesn't even know your name. Doesn't know you exist. He cannot see you from where he's speaking. He sees cameras. She sees cameras. Call for prayer. You'll never get to the pastor. If they have a prayer line, you're going to be talking to somebody who's going to pray with you, and you're going to be, your name is going to be written down on a piece of paper, and it's going to be shared as a testimony. There is no personal relationship. Well, I go to church on Facebook. There is no personal relationship. I know pastors that stream other churches before they go to church. They're not knowing to realize, or they don't know they're going to not have a personal relationship with them. They just want to hear the word. But they're taking their time going to church after they listen to streaming of another church. They're being edified by the message. They enjoy that pastor speaking. But now it's time for them to edify their congregation and to be there together with their congregation. It benefits the individual with spiritual stability and growth when you go to church. There's a benefit. You get stability and growth. It benefits objectively by its positive effect on you and I. There is a positive effect that comes when the word of God is spoken into your heart, where you feel better. You don't feel worse. You feel better because you heard something in the message that has encouraged you to move forward. The benefits, objectively, by its positive effect on others. The church meeting is far more than a place for one to be entertained. Praise God. I am so glad for that. I love that. That's why I wanted to read that again. It's far more than being entertained. You know, I don't like being entertained in church. I love to be part of the gathering and the worship. I don't like performance worship. I don't like it because somebody has a big name and they can really play a guitar or a keyboard, or they can play drums, or something is great. I like the ability to join together and to worship God together. Amen. and to say, you know, how wonderful it was that we came together. If you read 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 27, and I'm not going to take time to read that today, you're going to see that the attendance is necessary, that the church is a body interacting together. We're supposed to be interacting together. We're not supposed to be separated. You know, you can be sitting in the church and be separated from the body because the body may not be reaching to you or you may not be reaching to the body. It's so important that we are committed to the house of God and what the house of God represents. Does the church today in the post-church era know that we are earthen vessels that carry with us the treasure of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? That is so important in our life. 2 Corinthians 4 and 7. We are the earthen vessels. We carry the Lord in us. Every one of us carry the Lord Jesus Christ. If he is in us, and he is, we carry him out of church. We carry him to our works. We carry him to our home. We carry him to church. We are earthen vessels. We are traveling, and we have to understand that there is something going on in our life. We carry the power of the Holy Ghost, of the living God. We carry that promise of eternal life. But I want to ask you a question today, something that's really important. Where do you park yourself in this world now? What's the most important place that you find your parking place? Where is it? Where is it that you find yourself in the parking area of your life? Some people like to go park at the beach. Some people like to go park at something that is so different from what the church is. On Sunday, they park so far away, you will not get marred or hurt. You see, maybe you've been hurt in church, or maybe you've been pushed away from church, and some people park so far away in their spirit that they don't ever want to get marred or hurt. Or they park in the church parking lot, but they come in and sit down in the church and they stay far away from everybody because they don't want to get marred or hurt because of past experiences. How do you change that, Pastor? You begin to learn how to forgive people. You begin to learn to forgive them, for they know not what they have done. And even if they knew what they had done, forgive them. Don't carry that heavy weight of unforgiveness that keeps you from enjoying the assembly of the church together. All across America, people are not attending church that used to on a Sunday morning. I can tell you it started a long time ago. I remember the day when there was revivals. I remember the day that when we had Sunday morning, Sunday night, I had to preach two distinct messages within 3 hours of one another. Then Wednesday night Bible study, morning prayer meetings. We were together all the time. And then little by little, revivals began to cease because people began not to attend them. The world got busier. The double paycheck began to be introduced to households in America. It's amazing to me. The Wednesday night was the last hold on that we had. And it's difficult to keep that going. Sunday night ended and it was like people were thankful that Sunday night ended because of the amount of work that had to be done to be able to survive in this nation and to be able to pay the mortgages and the rents and the bills that were coming in. I think the enemy has done something to the church that we need to get back, if not through assembling more than once a week, but through prayer together.
to be able to seek God together, to be able to be in community together. I think it's very important that we don't lose sight of one another or sight of one another's burdens and needs and requests of prayer. Now, I do thank God for Facebook because we do have that ability to be together on Facebook, to share together. I think some people share things they shouldn't share. You know, some people push buttons and all of a sudden something shows up on our side, what they pushed, and I have to close my eyes and call them on the phone and say, do you know what you just showed us? Some immoral thing. So you got to be careful about sharing your heart, sharing your prayer, sharing what God is doing, sharing your need, sharing your grief, sharing your burden, sharing your pain, sharing your joy. And you got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 5,000 friends or somehow, and they see it and they begin to share and pray with you. That's important. We have Twitter, where you can put 140 characters of something that may touch a person's heart or bring an exhortation to several hundred or several thousand people. That's good. That's good. We have Instagram now, which is becoming more so important than Twitter and even Facebook, because people are sharing it and seeing photographs along with the words, the short words that are there. And people are liking it and they're loving it and they're responding in comment. So now there's a photograph right there. There's a video right there. You can go live on Facebook now. And you can watch things live that are happening right away. Periscope became an opportunity for people to go to church. They would follow their church on the Periscope app, and they would see the prayer meetings, or they would see the minister speaking all over the world. But that doesn't give us the fullness of what we need when we come together as a family and know that what we have in God, we have also in one another. Are you with me? I think it's important we understand that. Secondly, parking so distant that you are not noticed. Some folks don't even want to be noticed. They're segregated. They don't want to be around other people, so they park so far away. And then we find that parking and taking up too much space so others cannot park. You know, I think it's important. Look at this. Isn't that wonderful? They take up, others can't park, you know, so they have to find a place just like that to park. What we have to understand is these are just graphs or pictures that you can see that kind of draw the point is we need to be able to make room for others to be part of our life. Parking emotionally in these areas can cause separation and division. We even park in a community that is unsure of its identity, purpose, mission, and vision. You know, people go and they don't have any idea what their purpose is, what their vision is, what their identity is. And sometimes we want to park where only you can park there. It's like a big sign that says, my spot. Stay away from it. It's my spot. Don't you park there. I don't like pastor's spots. We get them when you get into a church. You get the pastor's spots. I don't like them. I don't. Because it's like, why do we get a pastor's spot when there may be somebody who's not able to get into church on their own? They should be parking there. Amen. Or somebody that has, you know, 300 kids that they're bringing to church, you know, you don't want them parking way across the parking lot. You want them right there because they're, by the time they get out of the car with the 300 kids, they're going to need prayer immediately. They're going to need something from Jesus immediately. So, you know, we have to really make sure that where we park, we know that we're parking where there's positive identity, positive purpose, positive mission, and a positive vision. That's important for us. It really is. And we need to know that. It seems that many in the church are not willing or are not even fulfilling the Great Commission, but are more interested in titles, positions, and less interested in winning souls than the kingdom of God to win souls. I think that's important that we understand that. That we find ourselves at a place to where we have to understand what the commission is. Can I say something honestly to you today? I mean this from my heart. I don't care if I'm a pastor or not. I don't care about the title. I don't care about it at all. I don't care about the positions that I've been given in the church of God. I don't care about them. I don't care about the titles or the prestige. I don't care about it. I don't care about titles and I don't care about position because it means absolutely nothing to me. And why do you say that, Pastor, with such compassion? Why do you say that with such driven purpose? It's because I spend a lot of time with the Lord in prayer, and I don't need these positions. I don't need titles. But what I need to do is follow the commission that Jesus Christ gave us to do, and that is go and make disciples of all nations. It's what we have to understand. I would really rather pastor a church or be part of a church where there was no titles, where everybody could just be kind of hanging out together and it wasn't worried about this or that. You know, I don't like my office. I've made that known to many of you. I am not an office person. You know why? Because I like hanging out with the crowd. You know, I did a youth camp. I don't know if I told you this story, but let me tell you this. Up in the Pacific Northwest, I got a phone call from the youth director in the Pacific Northwest. And, Becky was down the hallway in the Vine when I got the phone call. And so basically, I went ahead and he called me and I picked up the old retro phones, and I picked it up and he said, "How you doing?" I said, "I'm doing good. Who's this?" And he gave me his name. He said, I would want to know, I've heard about you from Fred Abbott up here in the Pacific Northwest, and I would like to know if you would like to come up and do our youth camp." Well, of course, I said, "Wait a minute, let me check my schedule." So I pulled the phone down like this, and I held the receiver, and I don't know if Becky remembers this. I said, "Becky, do you remember what my schedule is?" And I don't think she spoke back. It was way down the hallway. And I think maybe Andrew was there crying or something that morning, whatever it may be. And, it just was going on like that. And so what I did is I went, "Oh, I checked my schedule." And I just happened to have that week open. You see, I don't like offices. I don't like titles. All I want to do is to be part of the growth of the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. And I think if you would think about what I'm saying, it's so important that we need to have more passion and more compassion for the lost than we do to have a title. You think that I'm the only one who thinks that way, but maybe so, but I don't. I know people that have come to me that are over me in the Lord and have said to me, and I want them to hear this if they hear this, have said to me, "Do you know who I am?" And I said, "Yes, you're a bishop." And inside my mind I went, "Whoa." And he said, "No, do you know who I am?" I said, "Okay, who are you?" And by the way, I was buying lunch that day. "Who are you?" "I'm the one that can take your church and your license." That's the kind of stuff I want to stay away from. That's what I think the church needs to stay away from. What we need to do is we need to say, "Do you know who I am? I'm a servant of the King, Jesus Christ. I'm a soul winner. I'm a gospel person, and I love Jesus Christ, and I want to let you know you can count on me to pray for you.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Are you with me? I feel like preaching just in a moment here. The look at me and not looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The world today is looking for help, and the church is in the world parking and not portraying the love of Jesus Christ. They're not. You know, we go to camp meetings, and out of camp meetings, I get these phone calls from these, you know, fabulous, well-known ministers. What did you think? I said, I thought it was a great camp meeting. No, what did you think of that preacher? What did you think of that teacher? It was horrible, wasn't it? Man, oh, yeah, this is terrible. I'm so tired of this kind of preacher. You know, wait a minute. What are you listening to? Are you seeing the individual? Are you hearing the word? Are you hearing the word of God being portrayed in your life? The church is in trouble with its attitude and its approach. And while how it goes and embraces the people, we need to understand we are an advertisement for the Lord Jesus Christ. And our billboard should say, you are welcome.
Amen.
We love you. We care for you. Parking in places that speak, I need to go to church, but I haven't in a long time. Parking in locations that speak, I do not attend on a regular basis. I talk to people all the time. You're not with me. I know all the time. You're welcome to be. My wife is. I talk to people all the time in restaurants. I tell you this all the time because I want to sow your heart with this. In going in and buying things at stores, I talk to people. I look for the avenue. I wait till they smile about something and I say, do you go to church? And these are the answers that I get. I used to, but I really believe I need to. And boy, I just latch onto that and I said, you know what the world's like today? It's spinning out of control. The best place for you to be is in church. Would you go next Sunday? Yes, you know what? I'm going to do that. They sense something. They sense a love. Or we're parking in spaces that the marquee states sporting event, beach, boardwalk, or best fishing. You don't retire from the house of God. You don't do that. The only time retirement comes is when Jesus takes you to heaven. I like what one of our general overseers said one time. He was going to go into retirement, and he stood, I'm not going into retirement, I'm going into refinement. Praise God. And to be able to do that. There's a side to this, though, that we must be mentioned. The church is, it has been, in a parking place too long, and the world has driven by, and we are losing generations. We should always be moving forward in faith and reaching the lost, sharing what we have been given by the Lord. You know, this morning the Lord spoke to me when I came into church, and I said, oh Lord, how can I draw this together? But now I just see it. In Ezekiel 37, God picked up Ezekiel and took him to the valley of dry bones. He took him to the church in America. He said, can these bones live? But Ezekiel had enough wisdom not to say, of course they can. I know they can. Yes, they can. Because the answer back from the Lord would have said, well, how come you haven't kept them alive? The Bible says that he said to the Lord, only you know, Lord. But then the Lord told him to prophesy to the wind. And I believe it's time that the church, that the people that pray, the people that are anointed by the Holy Ghost of the living God, begin to prophesy again to the wind, begin to prophesy through the bones, to begin to prophesy what into the lives of those that are not in church and see those people rise and begin to go forth as a great army of God.
Amen.
It has never been God's plan for us to be slender in church attendance, to be exiting. And we have all these generational excuses, the boomers, the Gen Y, the Gen X, the millennials. We have all these excuses. It's not an excuse. It's just the church has dried up. They're trying all their performances and everything. Do you know what people want when I talk to them and I talk to these generations? You know what they say they want? They want truth. They want the Word of God. They want the Word given in power. They want to witness the fire of God. They want to sing songs that mean something from the heart of the singer as unto the Lord. That's what they want. You know, I'm describing what does not go on in church. Only special people can come up to the platform. Only special people can be part of this group. Only special people can speak. Let me tell you something, my friend. What we have to do is we have to listen to what we are missing, and we need to prophesy to the wind. The wind is the Holy Ghost of the living God, and the Holy Ghost needs to come into our church again in power, in fire, in anointing, and we need to receive that, and we get to move in what the Holy Spirit is going to say. The bones can't live without life. We have to pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is doing in our life. We have to pay attention to what Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18 and 21. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." I'm going to stop there for a moment because I want to take you back into Luke. He had his disciples together and he said, "Go ye into Jerusalem and tarry there till the promise of the Holy Spirit comes." And he breathed on them. He breathed on them. He breathed on them and they received the Holy Ghost. He breathed on them. My prayer today is, God, breathe on our church. Breathe in the Church of America. Breathe on us again. Father God, let's begin to rise up as an army and let's take out the sin of this earth, the sin of America. My prayer has been, God, reach out and pull back the brass heavens and hear the prayers of those crying out for your presence one more time. I have such a burden for the church, such a burden for the lost, such a burden. I preached recently in a place that wasn't Pentecostal. I was asked not to be Pentecostal when I preached there. That's like asking a horse to act like a goat. Well, I obey. Everybody knows me. I obey people that are over me in the Lord. If an invitation, that pastor is over me in the Lord, that director is over me. And I got there and I started off about 3.5 minutes. And then the preacher came on me. This is what they said. Non-Pentecostal. 8 people got saved at the altar. We have never seen or heard anything like that before. And this is what we need. Let's take it now to the Pentecostal churches. We have seen that. We know what it's all about.
We don't need that. We have drawn dried up in our relationships. We are parked in a place where we're not getting out of our car. We're not moving. We're not going to let the Holy Spirit move us. We are just dry. We worship, but why are we worshiping? We listen to the word, but why do I need it? Do you hear the story I just told you? They have never witnessed Pentecost before. 2017, they have never witnessed Pentecost before. We need it. We need the fire. We need the life. We need the power. We need exactly what's going on. He said, go and make disciples. Listen to me. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. Remember, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. It has nothing to do with position. Nothing to do with title. Nothing to do with what power that you may have over someone else. What it has to do with is simple word in the Word of God, and I bring it up all the time, is the word obedience. And he said, go, we should be going. We should be telling people about Jesus Christ. We should be who we are, our identity, our purpose, our vision, our mission, our wholeness. We are filled with the Holy Ghost of God. We are filled with the power of God. We've been baptized in the fire of God. Jesus said, I will baptize you with fire. Amen. Don't ever let that leave you. Don't ever let that leave you. I am beginning to prophesy to the wind. I am going to begin to prophesy it when I pray to the wind. I am going to begin to ask the wind to blow across the church in America. I've been praying for revival since 1982 for the San Francisco Bay Area. I have been crying out to God for the Holy Spirit to show up in San Francisco, show up in the Monterey Bay Area and Santa Cruz, show up in the Santa Clara County of the Corridor, 880, going down 280, going down 380, hitting all those cities, Milpitas, a great revival. I asked the Lord, God, I'm not praying for a run down the aisle, shouting revival. I don't know if that's what God wants, but what I'm praying for, a revival of spiritual awakening of the knowledge and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gifts, the promise, the purpose, and who He is in our lives, praise God. Amen. We must rise up and declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tell all your friends, get the church. I remember when Marilyn Manson was on the stage. And what a grotesque person he is. And Chris Rock came out on the stage afterwards. And the first thing he said is he looked at the audience of 5,000 people. And he looked across the audience and he went, that boy needs church. There's a song that I don't know the words of, but in that song it says, I am taking them to church. Going to church.
My God, I pray that America, the church, rises up, wakes up, and moves in the power and the anointing of what this bones of Israel did. They rose up and they marched out of that valley as an army, willing and able to take on what God has given them to do. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Are we ashamed? Or are we alive? You know, don't say to yourself, that's just my personality. I'm telling you, God changes your personality. He changes your character. He changes everything about you, that you will serve him in the greatness that he deserves. Let me close with this. We are alive in Christ Jesus, and we have a message of hope that must be spoken with conviction, passion, and through the power of the Holy Ghost. We have a message. Our convictions must be noticeable, more noticeable than our attitudes, our approach, and agency. We must portray the love of Jesus Christ, the one who has saved us and delivered us. Declare faith in action. As you live out the Great Commission, take your fears, frustrations, failures, and frailties and start speaking faith coupled with the Word of God. And I believe with all my soul and say, I will win a soul to the gospel or to the kingdom of God. Say it out loud in your life. I will win a soul. I will make sure that soul gets won and discipled. I will make sure that soul gets taught and attends church. It's not about us. It's about him. It's never about us. It's about Jesus Christ. And don't let fears or frustrations or failures or frailties stop you from moving forward. Speak faith over your life. Speak faith in your prayers. Speak covering over your household. Speak covering over your children. Speak faith and see what God can do. Amen? Take your circumstances and start living above them. Take your troubles and start controlling them through prayer. Start speaking the faith of God in your life. Amen?